Swing your arms back and forth.
Really?
Do not go crazy on this one because you'll just look, it will just make you look less attractive.
So swing your arms? Okay. I don't swing my arms when I walk. It's New York.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of space.
Yeah.
I think you got to keep them to yourself.
And you got to keep one hand on your bag.
Well, yeah. And one hand balled in a fist.
With your keys.
With, yes, right.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So Katie's going to kick off, as I mentioned, that my spring is flaccid.
Spring.
Yeah, so we're going to put some spring in our spring. Katie's going to tell us how to sex it up.
Yes, this article is how to sex up your spring.
Okay.
And I was like, sex up your spring? How do I sex?
But why couldn't they come up with something more clever, like put a, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Put it.
The spring is in there.
In your sex.
In your sex? I don't know. Put a spring in your sex. Oh, so what, says, how do we do it?
Bye-bye, erratic weather. Hello, totally awesome stuff we've been waiting all winter
Not
to
really.
Do.
No.
This is terrible.
In New York, it continues to be crazy. It's like 70 today, tomorrow 40.
Yeah.
That's spring.
Yeah, so this is by Katie L.
Okay. Sure.
This is just a terrible list of things that are just awful, but there's one in particular I wanted to share with you guys.
I think I'll be able to pick that one out.
First of all, sex up your spring. Get revved up for spring cleaning.
Yeah. Is it nude spring cleaning or something?
Yeah. A study showed that the more housework a couple does, the more sex they have.
The more housework a couple does together?
Yeah.
Or just a clean house promotes banging?
It's just as a couple does.
Okay.
It says, so scrub that kitchen counter, then get busy on top of it.
Really?
And then maybe scrub it again.
And then scrub it again. Yes, then sanitize it, do your thing, and then sanitize it again.
Yeah. Then another tip is spritz on a new scent.
Okay.
Whatever.
Or spray it on, I guess.
Yeah.
That's the other option. Spritz, I don't know.
Yeah.
I want to put more on than that.
Yeah.
For perfume.
A spritz, if I'm trying to sex up my spring, spritz isn't going to do.
Yeah, I feel like spritz is what they do with the Giorgio counter when you used to run by in the 80s. Like,
yeah. Oh, gosh. Remember that perfume alley?
Oh, God. They still have perfume alleys.
Oh, God.
Not just at Macy's, at everywhere. Like, there's more subtle now, but they come out.
Yeah.
They're, like, in the background. You think that they're going to show you something about a rouge, and then all of a sudden,
and they're like, gotcha.
Anyway, spritz. So spritz, yes. Spritz it up.
Here's one, and I take a trip back in time.
Oh, no.
So if your spring breaking days are over, round up the old crew for margaritas and reminisce about your craziest moments from Cancun trips past.
It's not that fun.
No, it's not.
Then toast
the fact that none of those moments were ever captured on Girls Gone Wild. Sure.
Sure.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Maybe.
But did you ever do spring break? I didn't because I was broke. And I didn't, like, and most of my friends were broke. I think during spring break, we tried to stay at campus.
Yeah.
And, like, we actually got work done. I mean, it was kind of lame. And then some of us who had jobs were like, can we work during the, you know, an extra couple days? And then really did spring break.
Yeah, I was broke, too. So I remember going to Florida with one of my friends.
Okay.
And we stayed at her grandmother's house. But
in Girls Go Wild.
I think at that time, Fort Lauderdale was the place to go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
That was a big thing when we were in college.
We stayed in Boca Raton.
In Boca?
Yeah.
They got a nice buffet at Sauta, too.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Were you guys allowed to use the facilities? Were you too young? You were too young to get in the pool. It's a cocoon.
Oh, yeah, right. Exactly. So there's that. But the idea... Now, say you did have a very wild spring break.
Mm-hmm. First of all, you shouldn't remember it.
You shouldn't remember it.
Yeah.
But also, now you're with these women who are probably married and with kids, and you know that the most self-righteous... what is the saying? There is none as self-righteous as the reformed prostitute.
Oh, no. So these are broads gone straight.
Yeah. So they're like... they don't want to hear about their own past.
Yeah. They forgot that they slept with that chick in the bathroom at Denny's.
Yeah.
They're trying to deny it, but you were there.
Yeah.
You were holding the hair back.
And it's like, come on, you know, we're past that now. We can't talk about that now.
I wish I could remember. I recently got together with a friend from Sarah Lawrence that I hadn't seen in like 15 years. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the stuff we did in college. I remembered none of it, and I won't go into why. But you know what I mean? Like, we had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But you can't reminisce that much if you had that much fun.
Right.
They're just like big holes in the time.
Right. It's just like, hey, Sarah, we all remember how you gave 5 Bojanskis.
Yeah.
Different guys.
Sarah's not going to want to remember that.
Just like, what?
What do you mean?
I have children.
I gave no more than 3.
I have children.
And 2 of them were to 1 guy.
And it's like...
It's my husband.
Because they're married and they have children, somehow they've been sanctified. And it's like, don't even
talk to me about
that.
Those are the dirtiest ones. How do they get married with children?
Yeah.
You ask people how they met their husband. Many people, it's like, I was up on a bar dancing. It's like, yeah, but now you reformed it to be like, I was in the park.
Yeah.
Reading a book.
Yeah. I was reading Proust.
I was wearing a sundress.
Yeah.
And a shadow came across my shoulder. And I looked up, and it was Ted. No, that's not how it happened. It's the 3 Bojanskis. The 3rd Bojanski.
And we face the fact that a lot of women of yesteryear, they, you could get your BA or your BS.
Yeah.
But a lot of them got their BJ.
That's true.
How they got their husband.
Yeah, that's how you get your MRS. It's the 5th year. All right, so that's how we can, what does it say? Relive?
Relive. Take a trip back in time and relive your spring break days.
I'll tell you another thing. I was just at a place where there were a lot of spring breakers. Uh-huh. This is in Las Vegas. And I felt so bad because it was cold, but they were still determined to spring break it. And it was just a bunch of cold, semi-drunk young men and women around the pool. Especially it was bikinis and goosebumps. I felt so bad. And then I'm looking at that, I'm like, wow, it doesn't look like a lot of fun. But I was in the bathroom and I heard some of them be like, man, this party's off the chain. It's off the hook. So I was like, that's right. Because when you're that age, you don't care.
Yeah.
You're hanging out with your friends. Yeah. You're drinking. You listen to the music. You're having a good time. It may not look like a good time from a 40-year-old's point of view. Because I'm like, my feet hurt.
Yeah.
Can someone put on the flames in here? Like, it's a little cold outside in this palm tree. But they were having an awesome time.
Yeah, because that's one of the benefits about getting older. You realize what quality is and what, and how to really have a good time rather than bringing, like, a giant Foster's in a paper bag.
And also, you know,
you
when you're 40 years old, you feel okay about having a flask in your pocket.
Yeah.
And pulling that out. Yeah. Whereas when you're young, you're like, I'm strapped. I can't get drunk anymore. It's like, no, my friend, the flask.
Right.
So relive spring break, which mine would be studying and working a couple extra shifts.
Right.
And yours is being at Boca Raton, getting your tips frosted.
Yeah.
All right, what else do they have?
It says score spring deals.
Huh? That sounds sketchy.
Yeah, you just go and look for sales on bikinis.
Sales. Ooh, I'm always looking for a good bikini sale. That's something that I don't want on sale at this point in my life. I want it to be full price and I want it to be well constructed.
Right.
Like, it's not
gonna last you.
Yes, it's gotta last.
Yeah, we've reached the point where we get pieces.
Yes.
To add
pieces.
Okay, and then it says
I want a bikini with a belt. That's my goal for this year.
A bikini with a belt?
Yes, with a like a Bond girl.
Okay.
Now, I'm not gonna look like a Bond girl, but I'm still gonna have the belt on, so maybe I'll fool someone. They'll get blinded by the buckle.
You should just get a knife and a holder, and that's going to be the new trend.
That's what I'm going to have, the knife and the holder.
Yeah.
It'll distract people.
Here's another way to sex up your spring is feast your eyes on baseball's finest.
Really?
They're emerging from winter hibernation for spring training.
And they're emerging with their uniforms on, though.
Yeah.
I mean, baseball uniforms not really that interesting to me.
Yeah, right? Yeah, they're not exactly the sexiest of all the uniforms.
They're not, and they're weird. I feel like they haven't modernized or like a basketball now. It seems like they've got fairly more modern looking. Like if you look at basketball uniforms from back in the day, it's like pulled up to the nipples.
Yeah.
Tucked in.
Tiny, tiny, like short shorts.
Yeah, really, really short shorts. Knee socks pulled up. But they've changed dramatically. I feel like the baseball uniforms still look the same. Like it still looks like it's like popcorn. Fresh out popcorn. Candy.
And I don't know. As women, we were trained to just view athletes.
And not to enjoy the view.
Right.
That's true. When you're growing up, you're like, oh, let's watch a game, and you're watching for the skill of the performance.
Yeah.
Right? You want to see, like, Jeter, hit the run and do all this kind of stuff. You want to see the amazing feats of athletic prowess.
Well, actually, I wasn't even going that far. I was just, like, looking at guys.
Oh, really? Around. Oh, I was the other way.
Yeah, look around. Look at the fit guys around, and guess what? They're not talking.
Yeah.
So even better, what's not to like?
Looks
about
like they've
sports?
Got a ball they're passing.
Yeah.
Don't know what that's about.
In high school, we'd go to the basketball games and
just watch them run.
Just watch them run and then back and forth. And then when it was time for the foul shots, right, the guys...
Were you harassing them?
No, well, the guys would line up around the key to get the rebound, but they would bend over and rest their hands on their thighs, ready to spring up for the rebound. But
you're like, hey, you dropped something.
Yeah, well, we're
all of you dropped it.
All right.
That's terrible. Was this in Catholic school or in public school?
Public school.
That's awesome. They're getting harassed, and they're trying to pay attention, too. It's like a really crucial part of the game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they're bending down not to look cute because it's just, you know, they want to be able to spring into action.
Right.
And there you are.
Like, okay, go guys.
Go guys.
Whatever.
I like it.
So these are the kind of the things you can sex up your spring.
Sex up your spring. Wow. Yeah, so there's, I mean, maybe UFC or something. Surely they had less on. I don't know. So speaking of self-indulgence. And I never read Eat, Pray, Love. I don't think you did. Did you read it?
I saw the movie.
Yeah. Okay.
Which was terrible.
It was just a movie based on a book. So basically, Eat, Pray, Love, it's an anthology. Oh, sorry. There's a new book out called Eat, Pray, Love Made Me Do It. And it's an anthology of self-actualized stories to celebrate the 10th anniversary of Eat, Pray, Love.
What?
So Eat, Pray, Love is a novel, a self-help slash travel guide.
Remember 10 years ago someone wrote this?
Yes, someone wrote this. And now they're commemorating it.
Yeah.
So this woman, Elizabeth Gilbert.
I have nothing against her.
I don't either, but this is what I didn't know. So she went on that trip to find herself. She was given a $200,000 advance by her publisher to do so. So she pitched, I mean, it's genius.
Yeah.
But it kind of, in a way, invalidates what I assumed the book was about. Mm-hmm. Was that a woman is a white woman who's down on her luck. She's probably in her 40s. Mm-hmm. She's divorced. Everything falls apart. So she goes on a journey of self-discovery, during which time she does such horrifying things as eat pasta.
Yeah, right.
Have gelato.
And dare go a size up in her pants.
Yes, sleep with foreign men in a foreign land. You know, these are the kind of the self-indulgence.
But this
kind
was
of
all
stuff.
Funded. By
it
a
was
publisher.
All funded.
Oh, wow.
$200,000, and all she got was a book out of it. I would have had an exercise video, a sex tape, like a series of films.
Wow.
So it's
I'm
not
sorry.
Even.
And now I'm like angry.
Yeah. It's okay. Not even. She didn't try to hide it. Yeah. She didn't publicize it either. She went to her publisher and was like, "I have an idea," mm-hmm. and the publisher was like, "Go with it." So the there's this book that's come, so it sold 10 million copies. Mm-hmm. So there's 10 million sad white women across America, the UK, and England, and expats who've read this book. And now, because it's a 10-year anniversary, they went out and they asked fans to send in essays about how this book has affected them and sent them on their own Eat, Pray, Love.
Oh, they better have paid them for the writing
and
the journey.
However, I heard both the writing and the journey are terrible.
Okay.
So this woman says, if you love Roxanne Roberts, right, if you loved Eat, Pray, Love, you should stop reading here. Just rush out and buy the companion piece, curl up with your prayer beads, and dive in. Namaste. If, on the other hand, you thought the original was self-indulgent sop, which I did, an insufferable memoir by a privileged woman with first world problems, we should talk. So basically, these people sent in 2,000 entries, and they picked 47. 47, which is a lot of essays to read by bad writers. 47 first-person tales. So they're all first-person. Because, I mean, it has to be. It's about them, right? It's all about them. Of self-loathing, self-discovery, and self-love. And each writer recounts how the book changed their life. So here are some quotes. To say I found myself through this experience may be trite, but it's also true. I realized that there was one adventure I had never tried. Self-acceptance.
No.
Yes.
No.
I began to feel that Elizabeth Gilbert, that's the writer, and I were cosmically connected. Yes. As single women, as brave souls, as true. I mean, you went on a fucking vacation.
Yeah.
To like an impoverished.
This is what happened. You know what? When you take work out of the equation and you have a lot of time on your hands, you get introspective.
Yeah.
It happens.
And it's bad. We've all done it. We've all taken and gone deep into that place and then looked at the writing labor later and then thrown it out.
Yeah.
Because it's crap. One woman, Liz got me. Liz was me. I knew Gilbert had to live the truth nature of being. So this, the reviewer writes, the book is waterlogged with sobbing women who break down at the drop of a metaphor. One woman, because apparently there's a scene in the book, I don't know if it's in the movie, she starts crying on the floor, in the bathroom floor. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who hasn't done that?
Yeah.
That song probably happens like once a year to most people. Life is hard. So people relive that scene. I genuinely related to Gilbert. I too cried on the bathroom floor. And she said,
I'd be more impressed if she had a bottle of white wine.
Yes.
Or two bottles.
Two bottles.
Sitting there. Yes. And eating potato chips.
Exactly. Enjoying yourself, having not read a damn thing. You know, you just watch X-Files.
And cry. Just sit there and
just
cry.
The reviewer also says you should be scared of anyone who describes themselves as a freshly divorced writer. Which apparently is a lot of these people. Here's some other quotes.
Freshly divorced writer.
Yeah. What?
I'm a writer who's
freshly divorced. I was vulnerable and hurting and needing something more, writes one woman about her flirtation with the Mormon faith. But it also describes most of the essays.
Flirtation with the Mormon faith.
Yeah. There's so one woman
flirty about
decided to be a Mormon and then was like, eh. I was caught in a tsunami of pain. It was during this period of loneliness and self-loathing that a friend suggested, eat, pray, love. Yeah. So this book is...
Jaquetta, if you ever said to me... If I said, I'm in a tsunami of pain, Jaquetta, what do I do?
Eat, pray, love.
Oh, thank God.
So if you enjoyed the first Eat, Pray, Love, that book made me just... I didn't read it, but I'm just against that whole thing.
Yeah.
But you can go ahead and read this. Eat, Pray, Love made me do it. I wonder if in another 10 years there'll be another Eat, Pray, Love made me do it again. You know, it's like that chicken soup for the Eat, Pray, Love kind of crap.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was really interesting. And I like this reviewer, Roxanne Roberts. She was pretty funny. Eat, Pray, Love made me do it. Life journeys inspired by the best-selling memoir with an introduction by the author. Because why not cash in on that again?
Yeah,
why not just keep riding that train as many times as you can?
God, just $16. Get in the door. The worst part of anything is getting in the door. Once you're in there.
So I guess
you can just do anything you want.
If I just wrote something like that and it sold, I would take the money and I'd try to do it as many times as possible, squeeze the life out of it.
Life is hard. Life is really hard.
I don't think she's written anything else since then. That it was on, Oprah gave it a boost. And so, you know, Oprah actually controls most people's minds. It was on the best-selling list for like 200 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Isn't that crazy? Eat, Pray, Love. That's why I've heard of it. Otherwise, why would I care? Why would I care? And then Julia Roberts galloped into the movie.
Okay. She sure did.
With Eat, Pray, Love. Was it Was it sappy?
It was terrible. I can't even remember most of it because
you blocked it out.
I think I fell asleep half the
emotionally, you left and went to the concession stand.
I remember being most offended at the eating part where they were like, oh, just eat the food. What? I'm in Italy. I want to eat, but I might get fat.
Why was she upset she wasn't eating before? She's not dead.
Yeah, she wasn't, but she was just giving herself permission to
eat food
and gain a little bit of weight.
What a bold move.
Yeah. Hey, it's okay to buy a pair of pants that are a size up when you gain weight.
Really?
And she's like, oh my God, I am going up a size.
Really?
Yeah,
did she actually go up a size?
No. Are you kidding? That's Julia Roberts.
That's even more offensive. All right, what do you have?
I have here, here's another thing. I got into the sexy.
Is it sexy spring?
I guess so. This is how to do the sexy walk.
Oh, no.
I was like, what?
Yeah, it involves, I think, putting one foot directly in front of the other, like crossing them over. Is that the sexy walk?
Well, since here.
Is that just what I've been doing and that's why it's not working?
It's just how to do a sexy walk.
Okay.
I was like, how does one do that? What's sexy to you?
Let's hear it.
Okay. You want to walk in a sexy way?
Yes.
Having good posture is key.
I guess one slumped over.
Creeping around the sidewalk.
Their hands dragging the ground in front of you. One dragging in front, one dragging behind. Yeah.
Throw your shoulders back and standing up straight as you walk conveys bold, sexy confidence.
I just think, I don't know about the sexy part, but I know people move out of your way if you walk with your shoulders up. Because a lot of people are hunched over.
Yeah.
So if you walk with your shoulders, even someone like me who's 5 feet tall, when I put my shoulders back and walk, people kind of move. Because they're like, this bitch is moving somewhere. I don't know if they're, like, thinking she's sexy.
So, first, keep your head held high.
Okay.
It shows you have confidence and will get some hot guys looking at you.
But don't look up, because then you seem like a horrible person. I hate people who have their noses pointed up.
Yeah.
It's got to be pointed up. Straight ahead, I think.
Yeah. And not down.
No, not down.
Yeah.
It looks like you're trying to indicate something. Like, is there something on the floor behind me?
Right. Square back your shoulders.
Okay.
So you can see the girls.
Oh, okay. I don't really have a problem with that.
Forward, girls. Forward. Swing your arms back and forth.
Really?
Do not go crazy on this one because you'll just look. It will just make you look less attractive.
So swing your arms. Okay.
But,
I don't swing my arms when I walk. It's New York.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of space.
Yeah.
I think you got to keep them to yourself.
And you got to keep one hand on your bag.
Well, yeah. And one hand balled in a fist.
With your keys.
With, yes, ready to go.
In between. And then it says put all your weight on your heels.
Really?
There's no explanation as to why
just
you would
do
that.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Approach at an angle. Do not walk straight up.
Now, of course, me. I'm thinking about looking straight ahead and just kind of like flanking someone.
So when you approach somebody, approach them at an angle. Tilt your head over your shoulders and say your piece.
Good morning.
Done correctly, you raise your value significantly by demonstrating you do not need their attention or approval.
Really?
So, ugh.
That doesn't seem...
Hello.
Okay.
Slow down your movements as if moving underwater.
Ba-na-na-na. Like slowly at 45 degree angle.
Movement should be bold, sporadic, and purposeful.
Okay.
Sporadic, bold.
Just like haphazard. I'm just going to start flinging myself around like I don't care. Devil may care attitude.
And relax your eyes.
Just like kind of a stoned monkey with heels, like walking flanking someone.
Walking on your heels, walking at an angle, sporadically.
Sporadically. I like to tilt your head and say your piece, and then peace out.
Slightly purse your lips as if you were about to kiss.
Really?
Mm.
Oh, wow.
Keep an inquisitive look of mild arousal on your face.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what that is either.
So I'm curious, but I'm also titillated.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure why.
I'm mildly aroused. And
just a little bit. Mostly I'm deadened inside.
So, mild arousal, purse your lips, relax your eyes.
That's awful.
I just did it for Jaquetta.
It doesn't look good.
No.
It's not sexy at all. I can say definitively.
Okay.
Well, I
like
that.
On it. What
so, do you got? Usually we do penis news, which is, you know, my favorite segment where I report on penises in the news, check updates, scrotum stories, what have you. But today I thought I'd give you a little hashtag vagina news.
Wow, we're mixing it up.
Slash beer news.
Wait a minute. So wait a minute. When we're talking about vaginas, are we also talking about
beer.
The labia?
Well, take a sweet sour sip of the world's first vagina beer.
What?
Yes. I don't know. They can't tell if this is real or if it's not real. It's called Bottled Instinct. And then there's a picture of a glass of beer next to a bottle of beer. And there's a pair of panties casually thrown onto the bottle.
No. No, no, no.
It says, there seems no end to quirky artisanal craft beers. But now brewers have finally put our patience to the test. So this woman is angry at this point. She's at it. Last week, a company...
She's coming in hot.
She's
at the top of the article. Okay.
Last week, a company known as Orders of Yoni, which is great. Yeah, Yoni is in many cultures vagina.
Yeah.
But I also had a friend named Yoni when I was growing up.
Oh, how
nice. Cool. We didn't know about the vagina part. Announced that they had a new creation to work. It's a beer made entirely with yeast from a woman's vagina. Doesn't say whose. Featuring a sour aftertaste and a quote-unquote woman's allure.
Oh, this is...
The beer promises to bring hoppiness and joy.
I can't.
To weirdos everywhere. So they used using high tech of microbiology. We isolated, examined, and prepared lactic acid bacteria from the vagina of a unique woman.
A unique woman?
Not one of those mass-produced women. This is a one-of-a-kind vag.
What's so special about her vagina?
They don't say
that,
but
they extract the yeast from there.
It just says, you know, they worked with this woman and her yeast, and they came up with a beer that was the result of a long, arduous selection process. So I guess they tried it with many different vaginas, and this one worked.
Where did they put the ad?
I have no
Craigslist.
I don't know. Vaginal yeast, $60 a pop.
You know, episodes ago, we reported on a beer made from the yeast from a guy's beard.
Yeah. So maybe they're using a similar procedure to extract this yeast and make a beer. I just don't know. I guess I don't know enough about beer to understand why you would need yeast from either a beard or a vagina or anywhere besides, like, you know, a plant where you know, like, is there a shortage? I don't know. I don't know what the problem is. But the article also says,
my face, if it freezes this way.
It has a sour aftertaste. With April Fool's Day around the corner, it's possible that it's a fictional creation. But they're trying to raise money for the project on some kind of fundraiser thing. So far, they've gotten 279 euros. Vaginal yeast beer. So bizarre. Like, on one hand, I'm horrified by it. On the other hand, it makes me think I just don't know what yeast is. And, like, what yeast can be used for. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's bizarre, right? Yeah, I like under what circumstances? Like maybe this technology could be good for something.
Yeah,
but making a beer?
You don't. Nobody needs it.
It's I don't just know. Like,
this is some avenues we should not go down.
It's just like the that woman in Brooklyn who was doing the breast milk cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another woman here who's making bread with yeast from her vagina.
Yeah, no.
Why?
Nobody needs you to do that.
I don't think so either.
Years ago, I worked in a restaurant that had a brewery attached to it. They made their own microbrew.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, like, you know, that beer was always brewing. And there's a certain time in the cycle with that yeast. It stinks.
Same thing with a woman. Like, I can't imagine.
I can't imagine, like, having to be, like, exposed to that.
Yeah. I mean, it's an olfactory assault. I've been to breweries, and it is quite, you know, aromatic.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's one particular time in that cycle.
Of yeast brewing where it's just unbearable.
Yeah.
All right, so that's my vagina news. Probably that's probably the only one we'll ever do.
Right.
Vaginas aren't often in the news. No one cares.
Yeah.
Right? Now that it's with a beer, they're like, post it. Print it, boys.
Right.
Yeah. All right, what do you have?
I have advice on advice.
Oh, cool. Advice on advice is a segment where we find advice on the internet that stinks.
And it's unqualified.
And we try to improve upon it by giving our advice on that advice. So who is this from?
This is Dear Caroline.
Okay.
Dear Caroline, whenever we visit my husband's family 2 or 3 times per year, he spends the entire time drinking excessively with his friends.
Well, I mean, it's hard to go home, you know?
I've always felt neglected and hurt, and I'm all for giving him some space to see his friends, but he literally leaves the house all day, so I'm with his parents for hours alone with no car.
Why doesn't she leave?
Now we have a baby, and
the baby's complaining.
The last 2 times we visited, he got so drunk every night that I can barely talk about these visits without crying. Not the baby. The baby didn't get drunk.
He got loaded. On GNTs.
For 6+ years, I've cried, gotten angry, and begged him to change his behavior when we visit. Clearly, his behavior isn't going to change.
Yeah?
But my current response is to not visit his family, which is an ultimatum. So where do I go from here? When we aren't visiting his family, he's warm, involved, a wonderful father and husband who occasionally has a couple of beers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where this person goes once we cross the town line.
I mean, is this really a question, lady? Isn't it obvious? There's some problems with that dude in his home.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be around his family.
Yeah.
Maybe there was some abuse or his parents are just dicks, or I don't know.
Yeah, like, when you go back to visit your family, you kind of, a lot of people automatically regress to where they were at the time when they moved
and
out.
Who knows what was going on?
Yeah.
First of all, it's a little shocking to me that you haven't had a conversation with him about his parents. Like, maybe you guys shouldn't be going to visit them.
Yeah.
Maybe he's hoping that you'll say, I don't want to go there anymore. And then he can be like, it's my wife.
Yeah.
My wife doesn't want to come here.
Right.
Which is fine. I'm more than happy to bear the brunt of that for somebody. Mm-hmm. Like, if you need an excuse for not going somewhere, just say me.
Yeah.
I don't care. Screw them. They're not my family. But it's a couple times a year. He goes there. He gets drunk. I suggest that they take 2 cars.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like these people are so awful that she doesn't want to be in the house with them.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the problem. But what's she getting upset for?
Well, because she's stuck with the parents.
Then get another car.
Yeah.
Like, go for a walk.
Yeah.
Don't go. You know?
So he wants to go. He's just regressing back to where he was. He doesn't want to be with his family. He goes out with his friends.
Maybe that's the only time he gets to see. Maybe he and his friends share something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only time they get together for whatever reasons. You know? And if it says he only has a couple of beers during the rest of the year, then he's not.
It's not a drunk problem.
Yeah.
This is like an emotional problem.
Yeah. I think they should not go, or she should join in, or she should take 2 cars.
Yeah. Yeah, right. But I guess the point is for the grandparents to see the baby and to...
They can see the baby. Right? They can have a great look at the baby.
Yeah.
They can babysit.
Okay. All right. So here's the advice. I'm not going to... it's signed neglected and hurt.
Okay.
Dear neglected and hurt.
We neglected that part.
Not going with him on these visits is the right answer to the immediate problem of his dumping you to go
a,
drink.
The right answer is A, do not go.
It is not an ultimatum, by the way. It's a consequence. An ultimatum would be, if you keep stranding me at your parents' house to go binge drinking, then I will blah, blah, blah.
A conditional sentence.
Yeah. But you're excusing yourself from these trips addresses only the narrow issue of his transforming into a raging butthat.
it doesn't sound like he's not beating her. He's just getting shit-faced.
Yeah.
He's getting, like, to the point where he can't feel, can't think, and then he just comes back to the house, I guess, and just passes out.
Right. The wider issue is one possibly waiting to pounce on you, which is actually a double. His drinking to such excess and his acting in such a brutal self-interest. Maybe that happens in Hometown, really, you know, stays... Maybe what happens in Hometown really, really stays in Hometown.
It's Hometown. Hometown PA.
But I tend to believe that people use their various capacities throughout their lives.
I don't know. I don't know, because I know that I didn't have a tragic upbringing. Mm-hmm. But when I go home, I sure do tie one on.
Yeah.
Because what else am I supposed to do? It just makes me think of, you know, when I was 15 or, you know, like just... bad moments in my life. This is why you leave Hometown.
Right.
This is why you try to put Hometown as far away from you as you possibly can.
And live your own life the way you want it on your own terms.
But also when you're home, you're free to do things that you... So maybe in his regular life, he doesn't have the kind of drinking buddies that he would just go out and get shit-faced with. And maybe he doesn't want to.
Yeah.
But he's on a couple times a year. I mean, come on. You know? Just don't go.
So, and then she goes on here.
But these grandparents can't come to you.
Yeah. So someone who has a seemingly bottomless capacity for hard work, for example, may not work hard at absolutely everything, but that capacity will likely show itself in more than one area of his or her life. I'm like,
It's been 6 years.
Yeah.
He only does it when he goes home.
So how else does this weak and thoughtless side of him express itself? If it hasn't yet, then I imagine we're both wondering when it will and to what end. It's like...
Really?
That's being a little hard on
it
the guy.
It is harsh. Come on.
It's like, well, you did this here, so how else?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like there are definitely... Everybody has triggers that push them into drinking to excess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, it's kind of like what happens at high school reunions.
No. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Or like any kind of a gathering of like what happens at family reunions.
Yeah.
Like when you're growing up, you go to family reunions, you're like, why is Uncle Ted always loaded?
Yeah.
He's like, well, he's not loaded all the time. He's actually only loaded when we get together for like the family reunion, Christmas time, Thanksgiving, any occasions when it's like that pressure is going on. But I always think maybe there's somebody in that crowd that Uncle Ted is not down with.
Yeah.
And so he's drinking to, you know what I mean?
Right. So it looks bad, but it's really, he's got a reason.
Yeah, he's got a reason. He's got reasons. I don't think it means, it's like a slippery slope argument here. I don't think it means that this guy is going to all of a sudden turn into some kind of monster.
Yeah.
Just because he gets loaded 3 times a year. I still am saying that he probably hopes that his wife will say, we can't go more than once a year. And he'd be like, fine. And then you've decreased the amount of times by 2/3.
But he's, in that case, he has to really take responsibility for it.
So
I just really don't want to go. And
are
you on board with me? Rather than putting it, doing this kind of thing
but
to put it on
why
her
not
shoulders.
Just have a conversation about like, oh, dude, why are you getting so drunk every time we go home? There may be something weird. Maybe killed somebody in this town.
Yeah.
You know?
That's like, a good one. Yeah.
Or I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. You go back to your hometown with your family, all these unprocessed emotions. The same problems.
And what happens? Do they go see her family or not? And what is she like?
Yeah.
Maybe he writes when he's like, my wife is usually a sweet person, but she's a bitch when we go to Hometown, any town, USA.
Right. Well, she turns, what does she turn into when you go home?
Yeah, that's very interesting. I like that one.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Little
weird thing here. We usually don't report on UFOs.
That's the one thing that we don't talk about.
I realize
about for some
we've
reason.
Been prejudiced against the ufologists. We have not. We do the Tales from Dirk Campfire where we talk about folklore, fake lore, fables, urban legends, but we don't really allow aliens to come into the mix.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm bringing them into that. So this article, it's all over the internet. It says triangular UFO seen hovering above Vladimir Putin's home.
Nice.
In eerie footage.
That's a great place for it, too.
So this intriguing footage, it's not that intriguing, shows the triangular UFO hovering in the skies over Vladimir Putin's home city of Petersburg. So it's not even, I don't even think it's floating, like, near Vladimir Putin. It's just like it's in the city.
Yeah.
In his home city.
His hometown.
Yeah.
Maybe because... when Vladimir Putin goes back to his hometown, he drinks a little too much.
He drinks too much.
With his friends.
And ufology gets into it.
Yeah.
Mysterious floating object was captured on camera on March 22nd. Three static glowing lights form a triangle formation are seen burning out from the overcast sky. As if to prove some skeptics wrong, then a plane in the video is seen flying overhead to demonstrate that whatever it is, it's not a normal aircraft. I don't know how they come up with this stuff. Object stays completely still through the 2.5-minute video. I watched it. I'm like, maybe it's some kids playing with lasers. Who knows?
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's a drone. Now, 68,000 people have viewed it on YouTube, which I found out is not a lot. I thought that was a lot. Yeah.
Oh, it's not.
Explanations range from a parachutist to Chinese lanterns.
You know, for a world leader, only 68,000
people. For a UFO, UFOs, people want to see that. Last year, it says two UFOs were filmed crashing midair above St. Petersburg, which is his hometown.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't, like, this is one of the reasons why we don't really talk about UFOs that much, because I looked at these videos. If I saw this, I'm just like, it's just some stuff in the sky.
Yeah.
Like some lights or a drone or, you know, mirrors or it didn't. Like, if you're going to give me UFOs, come to Putin's hometown. I want to see the guys with the big eyes.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like the green men or the gray men or whatever they call them.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see something that's a little more active than just some lights.
Yeah.
It could be anything.
Right.
I don't know. So
I like the abduction stories. I like
they're always the same.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
It's so bizarre.
Yeah.
I wonder if we went back far enough and did research, would they change like every 100 years or so based on what's going on politically and like socially?
Yeah, I'd like to know what the jobs of the aliens are on their planet. Like, just like
janitor.
Yeast culture.
Vaginal yeast culture is a hot job on planet 241.
Right. So what are their jobs in general? And then who gets
who
jobs
gets sent?
That are sent out? Like, remember in E.T., everyone's favorite heartwarming movie.
Did not like E.T. I thought he was a scrounger.
He was a botanist.
Oh, that's right.
Remember, he came to Earth to collect plant samples.
And they treated him like
he wasn't a fast
a plush
runner.
Toy.
That's right. And so his friends left him. They're like, Charles.
That's right.
He got left behind.
That's right. They booked it.
Yeah.
They're like, leg it. Oh, wait, you can't.
Yeah, because he was a nerd.
Yeah, yeah.
On his planet.
And he had some mobility issues.
Right.
Yeah.
So he couldn't go that fast. He got stuck.
I forgot he was a botanist. I did not like that movie. Everyone was going crazy over it. Yeah. I was like, whatever. Dune.
And so then there's other aliens who come down and they're going to, you know, some kind of vague
hairdresser.
I'm thinking about the other kinds of scientists that would come.
Okay.
To some of them are here to just study and just to observe. And those are the ones that are like, I saw something and it ran away.
I mean, they're marine biologists.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And then you got the ones that are supposedly tagging us and studying us.
Okay. That's got to be the lowest job.
Yeah. So they come in and they put an implant in us.
Wouldn't it just be easier to just come in? I mean, we're already tagging and implanting ourselves.
Yeah.
Why not just take that data?
Well, they would come in and implant us
and
then check up on from time to time. That's why you keep seeing them.
Okay. And the same people. That's right. Because they got to come back and check the probe.
Right,
is it still in his ass? Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Just
and then
make
some
sure.
Kind of weird thing happens where they're like, it was in my room and then it was gone. And then eventually they suck you back up into the ship.
Huh.
Because they have to dissect
you. But they're not taking enough people.
Yeah.
Like, these people who are getting abducted over long periods of time seem to live for a very long time.
And just like any scientist on Earth, there are some nice ones that are gentle with the rats.
Yeah.
And then there's
some
ones
who are like, whatever. Just tag them and bag
them. And then crack on the skull. This didn't work out.
I like the idea of the hairdresser. What am I going to do here? Make it work. Make it work. You signed up for this. Make it work.
I'm just talking about scientists.
Oh, scientists.
Studies. I'm not talking about every Joe Schmo. Coming.
Truck driver.
Yeah.
Like the guy who wants
trying to do their job.
Alien
here.
Forklift driver.
Yeah.
He's like, sucks at home, sucks here. All right. So what do you have? That looks interesting. Is that an elephant?
No.
Okay.
It's an octopus.
Close. Very close.
All right. I have robot news.
Awesome. So we're freaked out by the coming robot apocalypse, and it's just got to happen. Soon.
It is. We could be in the midst of it.
We can not know it.
Yeah. Robots are taking over.
Yeah. Everything. Pretty soon they'll be doing the yeast culture job.
Yeah.
What is your robot news?
Okay, so this is a robot octopus that can move like the real thing.
Why?
So in 2007, this young lady asked her father to catch a live octopus for her seaside lab in Italy. Mm-hmm. And the father was like, whatever. And then he did it.
But after he said whatever.
Yeah. And so she and her students placed the creature in a saltwater tank where they could study how it grasped tidbits of anchovy and crab. Mm-hmm. And then the team set about building robots that could mimic these.
Oh, that's interesting.
So
an anchovy snatching robot. That would be great for my salad. I hate anchovies. And they always forget to leave them out. That's what I use it for. They bring over salt, pepper, and then a little robot. They'll take the anchovy bits out of my Caesar salad. So
yeah. Would you? Ma'am.
I'll bring my own. No, thanks. I have my own robot.
Pepper? No. Bring the octopus robot.
Yeah. I'm not using that robot. I've got my own.
So after prototype, they used springs and wires and different things trying to mimic the octopus's muscles. Mm-hmm. But what they eventually came up with a way to make a soft robot.
Oh, okay.
That's what they're calling it, the soft robot.
Oh, that's right, with the soft touch.
Yeah, with the soft movement, the soft touch, and the soft coating.
Ooh.
So it's not metal.
Oh, is it dragon skin?
It's, no.
Like worse.
No, it's kind of like a silicone-y.
Oh, yeah, that's a dragon skin.
Oh, okay.
It's like what you would stretch over a robot if you wanted to make it look like it had human skin or animal, you know, flesh.
Yeah, yeah.
Gross.
So it's very pliable, and it's elastic and plastic. And
did it get anchovies?
It can. I'm doing this on the table where I'm like rolling my finger.
She's doing the what looks like the caterpillar
with my hand,
with her hand
on the table. So it can wrap around objects. It can touch people more safely than ever,
mm-hmm, which is not at all. Don't touch me.
Yeah,
there's no safety to a robot's touch. I'm sorry. I didn't ask to be touched by you.
Yeah. So of course they give the.
The military comes in.
Well, if you look at biology and ask what evolution has coughed up, there are all kinds of...
Has coughed up? It's a little more sophisticated than that.
They're sensing, gripping, feeding, hunting, swimming, walking, and gliding. Mm-hmm. And...
killing.
Yeah.
They left that out.
And so trying to rebuild or build robots based on these fundamentals is just very interesting.
I find it fascinating, but there's also an idea that by humanoid robots is going in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. That we're like, this is not the vessel that you should be shaping things after.
Right.
You know, like, this isn't going to work. Because see how many things we can't do.
Yeah.
Like, we have to come up with other ways to do things because we lack a lot of the skills that animals have.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And it said the most fundamental challenge in getting the robot's soft structures to curl, scrunch, and stretch.
Scrunch?
Yeah, the robot's tentacles house a network of thin metal cables and springs made of shape memory alloys, easily bendable metals that return to their original shape when heated.
Oh, that's interesting. I would think they would be going for some more of like a biologic thing, though, right? Like gel or something that's more easily malleable. I feel like when you're using metal, you're going to have some issues.
Yeah.
That sounds like the Terminator, though.
They can make the tentacles wave and even curl around a human hand.
Great. That's exactly what we need.
Yeah.
Theft.
So it's kind of like that's what's...
And then children are working on this?
Yeah.
Nice. I have a little follow-up kind of to that. Our favorite robot company, Boston Dynamics.
Oh, Boston Dynamics.
Which was, yes. Originally they were developing products for the military, then that petered out, and then Google purchased them years ago. And now they're putting them on the chopping block. Because Google's looking to sell robotics firm,
so
Boston
DARPA,
Dynamics.
So DARPA is no longer working with Boston Dynamics?
No, they failed to come up with anything. Like, their stuff sucks. It says, Google is looking to sell Boston Dynamics, after concluding it's unlikely to produce any marketable robot for the next few years. So you know if Google is cutting you loose, like, who's going to want you now? Boston Dynamics has become famous for its impressive and creepy videos featuring it torturing robotic creations, kicking, pushing, shoving them to the ground. So we've seen that where they mess with them. They also had the big dog, the robotic mule that nobody wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Spot, which is the quieter robotic mule, which nobody wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And then Atlas, which was, I think, the guy that went into the NASA contest and then fell over, didn't do shit.
Oh, right. Like, I love the robots that are top heavy, and nobody notices
them. No one noticed it. Because they have them like attached to things the whole time. They sit them on the field. It's like, he's too big on top, really. So apparently Google acquired Boston Dynamics in 2013 and already, like, forget about it. They acquired a bunch of teams, and then basically they decided to sell a bunch of them and didn't really say anything. So it sounds like Boston Dynamics like found out that instead of going where everybody else was, they might be getting sold to like Toyota.
Wow.
So,
wow.
So they're not included in the transfer that they were doing with a bunch of other sales. It's just like they're just on their own. Some of the problem came from the fact that the people at Boston Dynamics were just creepy. Mm-hmm. Apparently, people at Google were, you know, they said that there's excitement from tech press, but we're starting to see negative threads about your robots being terrifying. About them stealing human jobs.
See, they've been listening to our podcast.
Yeah, so basically they've been Boston Dynamics. You can look on YouTube. They have their videos up. And then if you read the comments afterwards, people are freaked out by them. Like, everyone thinks that not only are their robots weird, the dudes who are in the program are weird. Like, people don't like it. And so a part of them saying they're distancing themselves from Boston Dynamics is because they're creepy. I think that we're going to see in the next 20 years, these guys are going to come back with killer robots, and they're going to be like, how do you like me now,
that's
Google?
Right.
They're angry. Like, they're already angry to begin with. Yeah. And now they're being cut loose.
Yeah.
Someone's going to pick them up.
Oh, somebody
is going to... Dr. Evil. And be like, you guys can do whatever you want. I think your robots are awesome. They're not top-heavy at all. That incredibly loud pack mule, we could definitely use that. Don't listen to Google. You guys are great. And they're going to end up, breaking out Skynet.
Yep.
Basically.
Yep. They're going to be like, you rejected us.
Yeah. They should strip them of their capabilities to make robots.
It hurt our feeling.
Yeah. It hurt our feeling. They're going to be like in a jail somewhere and they've made like paper robots and they're fighting with them.
Yeah.
These guys. So, yeah. So much for Boston Dynamics. I'm sure we'll hear more from them.
I want a Boston Dynamics t-shirt. Now.
Me too. I want to say Boston Dynamics and then these are more than a feeling.
Yeah.
You hurt our feeling. Boston Dynamics. I wonder if they listen to podcasts.
I wonder.
They hear about it. Like, damn it.
All right. I have a listener email.
Oh, awesome. So if you send us a listener email, we will read it on the air and we will thank you.
Yes. This is from your husband.
Oh, okay. Oh, God.
So Jaquetta's husband doesn't go to her as per Jaquetta's request.
And I told him I'll probably delete it. Yes. Yeah. So if you want something on the air, you send it to Katie.
Right. So he emails her Hey You Know It address.
Okay.
And he sent, I can't even look at this picture again. It's about this giant rat. It's just a huge rat.
Told me about this.
This beastly rodent is enough to give you nightmares. This huge rat was found dead just feet away from a popular playground for children in London. Gas engineer Tony Smith, 46, spotted the animal.
Who cares how old he is?
He looks like Colin Quinn, by
the way. Oh, really?
Yeah, good, it's really funny. Spotted the animal while working on a block of flats in the middle of London and held it up for the camera to see. Of course, its size is distorted by how close it is to the lens, but still, regardless, it's huge.
It's huge. And I did my research on these rats.
Yeah.
These rats are so big that they're coming from Africa originally. I don't know. They're a breed of rat. Like, they eat them. They're that big. And they're good eating. They're rodents. You can't even say they're a rat. These things are like 4 feet long. Like, they're a real, like, source of nutrition.
It is the size of this. The body of the rat is the size of the man's torso.
Yeah.
And then the tail goes down below his
knees. Yeah, that's what, by 4 feet, I mean the entire thing. Yeah. I don't mean the body is 4 feet. Yeah. I mean the tail as well. It's huge.
But he says here, Tony said, this is the largest rat I've ever seen in my entire life. I've got a cat and a Jack Russell, and it was bigger than both of these put together.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It's bigger than a dog.
We were going to stick it in a bin, but before we did, we thought that we better take a picture of it because people won't believe it's real.
So they were just going to throw it out? Surely they should take that to, like, the National Health Authority or something,
I know,
wildlife.
The father of three added. So we're learning a lot about Tony.
Yes, not so much about the rat.
Yeah. I came home and showed my wife, and she was absolutely shocked. I've been installing boilers across wherever for years, and I've never seen a rat so big. Tony explained that the estate where he was working on had an infestation of rats, so
I'll say
there is poison left around to catch the enormous creatures. He said the bins got left open nearby, so these little fellas had a pretty good diet. They eat fried chicken and rice all the time. We just chucked it in the bin because we couldn't leave it lying around. It was huge.
It's bigger than a small child. Like, it's like the size of, like, a pre-kindergartner. It's so bizarre. You could Google it, or I'll try to put a picture up somewhere. It looks like a joke.
Yeah.
Like, it's so... Because it just looks like a rat, but gigantic.
Yeah, it looks like from a 50s movie.
Yeah.
A 50s, sci-fi movie.
Like, Attack of the Rats.
Attack of the Giant Rats.
It's huge. And the fact that this guy just killed, like, found it and was like, eh, whatever. And it's just, like, picks it up.
And doesn't he look like a younger Colin Quinn?
He does.
Yeah.
The rat doesn't look so bad either.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
So that's my vagina
news. Is it the kind of the thing where you're like, haha, people are ingesting part of me?
Maybe, but it's such a minute part of you that it's not even like, yeah, it is not, I guess, you know, there's like a pubic hair in there, right, or something that's like, it would be like if I took a swab of you and then somehow was able to make a taco out of it. Like, maybe that's not the best example.
No, that's
But you know what I mean? It's like, okay, whatever. Right. Like, so I've taken a clipping of Katie's hair and I've turned it into a chimichanga. You know, like,
it's like, why would you do that?
Why would you do that?